Morning, everybody. So give me a minute. Goodness. I went to put my stuff on that stand, and it was like, I thought I didn't have it on the ground. That's how rickety it was. And I, about 2 weeks ago, I dumped a 20-ounce, I don't know if you've been to the Pour, but it's great coffee, so you should go check it out. But I had been by there, and I got a large latte. I go to work. I sit down at my desk. I open my computer. I sat my coffee down, and I turned and knocked the whole thing into my computer. So I don't think Peggy would be real happy if I said, I dropped it off the stand. I need to go buy yet another computer. So anyway, I want to ask you a question this morning. This is not rhetorical. I want you to answer, okay? So just yell out to me. What are things that make you happy?
Children.
Nature. Patty, I knew that was coming. What else? The beach? Me too, girl. What else? Huh? God. Good. Church answer. Thank you, Cindy. Sunday school. It's true. What else? The sun. Coffee makes me happy. Ice cream. Chris, that's my girl. Okay, yes. What else? All of those, there's a lot of things in common about all of that, and we'll get to it. But I want to talk to you this morning about why God doesn't necessarily want us happy, which may seem contradictory, and in the next few minutes, some of you might want to leave, and that's okay. Terry Martin told me this morning when I walked in, he was like, oh, you're preaching today? That's why no one's here. Huh. So there may be even less of you here in a few minutes. You might want to leave. But hang tight with me. I want to tell you why it is God might not necessarily want you happy. And that doesn't seem right, right? Because God is good and everything we hear about him is love. But we get so focused on being happy, and things drive that in our culture, and it just doesn't seem to make sense to us that a loving God who created all of this beauty and all this, that he might not, his chief concern might not be for us to be happy. But we hear things like this on the radio. Right? Yeah. Listen to this line. Okay. That song just makes you feel happy, right? I mean, just makes you want to move around. But the second line of that chorus says, clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Ugh. I love that. Listen, I've been grooving to that song since it came on the radio, right? We dance to it at the gym. But here's the thing. If happiness is the root of truth of everything that should happen in our lives, we are in trouble. Because happiness is not based on lasting things. My dad said this when I was a little girl, and it used to tick me off, right? Because I'd be upset about something. And I can remember being in the car with him on the way to school one day. I was probably ninth grade. And we're driving to school. And, oh, I was so mad at him. And I said, oh, you just make me so mad. And he said, no, I don't. And I was like, oh, yes, you do. I mean, just, oh. And I'm a firstborn and independent, and I was going to argue this point with him to the end. And I said, yes, you do. What do you mean you don't make me mad? I'm so mad right now. And he said, no, you can choose to be mad at me, but I can't make you mad, right? There aren't things that can make us happy. We think there are. But happiness is based on happenings. And guess what happenings do? They change. Circumstances do not remain the same. And so if we're chasing after or looking to things to make us happy, then we're going to be disappointed inevitably. It's going to happen. So we might as well brace ourselves for that and get ready. But we don't really like that idea because we'd really rather just be happy. So today we're going to talk about that. This is the first part of a four-part series. You need to come back for each one of these. When I saw this series on the calendar that we were going to be doing it this year, I was so excited because there are certain things that we get confused about and some things we even think the Bible says that it doesn't really say, and then we're misled. And so there's several things we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. Next week, God will never give you more than you can handle. How many of you have ever heard that? Some of you have probably said it. It's not the truth. It is not the truth, okay? So hang tight till next week. Come back and Steve will tell you about it. The third week is that it doesn't matter what you do as long as you don't hurt someone. that I can just do whatever I want to, and my life is driven by my own decisions. Come back week three and hear about that. And then the last one is that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it, as long as you're in it wholeheartedly. I'm glad you're laughing because you know it's not true. Good. Okay, well, come back and learn why, and then you can tell everyone else because they don't seem to get a hold of that either. So we're going to talk today about this happiness thing, and I would love to tell you that God just sits in heaven all day, every day, and wrings his hands over what's going to make you happy, and that he just worries about that. Well, he doesn't. He doesn't really worry. He doesn't worry about it at all. Not really, but he doesn't at all worry about that. He has so much more for us, and so we're going to look today at two reasons why God wouldn't want us to be happy at all. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Psalm chapter 97, verse 12, go and read it later. It says this, may all who are godly be, what? Happy. Now, we could read that scripture and go, now wait a minute, the scripture says all who are godly be happy. That we should be. And we're singing Oh Happy Day this morning. I'm like, this is perfect for today. There's so much more that drives happiness than what we really think. And this scripture, if we read that, it might make us think that that really is God's agenda, is our happiness, but it isn't. God does not sit there and worry about making us happy. And I'm thankful for that. But if we start to believe this thing that God's main agenda is for us to have a good life and be happy, then it takes us down kind of a dangerous road towards some other misbeliefs and wrong believing. So we're going to take a look at that. This is sort of the theology of happiness, if you will. Number one, if you believe that God wants you happy above all else, then whatever makes me happy must be right, and everything that makes me unhappy must be wrong. Now think about that. And you might go, well, no, that's not true. And you're right. But don't we live like that? If it doesn't make me happy, this must not be the right thing. Think about your life place, your life situation, things that are happening in your world right now. There's probably things that don't make you happy. So if that's happening, then those things must be wrong. Well, that's not true, right? Hebrews tells us that no discipline, so discipline isn't fun, right? It doesn't make us happy. My parents would discipline me or ground me or whip me or whatever. That was not fun. I did not like it. It did not make me happy. But the scripture says that no discipline is pleasant at the time, but for those who are trained by it, in the end, the result is a harvest of righteousness and peace. So that's a good end game, right? Righteousness and peace. I want that. But that means that sometimes I'm going to have to go through things that don't make me real happy, which might be discipline, okay? Sheryl Crow, I love her music, right? And I've listened to it when I was in high school and college. But she has this song, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. But the chorus goes on to say, and excuse me, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. If it makes you happy, then why the hell are you so sad? Because happiness is not the driving thing for us. It should not be. And as believers, for us to get a hold of that and understand that there's so much more behind God's agenda for our life than just being happy. There's things that I don't like to do, okay? Administrative duties. If you know me at all, that is not my thing. If you saw my desk, it looks like a disaster zone. I know where it all is. Nobody else does. It's sort of my creative brain, the way it works. I don't file things away. They stay on my desk, and then when I spill coffee on them, they're coffee stained, right? But I'll remember, oh yeah, that paper had coffee on it. I need to look for that paper, right? It's just silly, but that's the way my brain works. So I don't love administrative things. That's why Patty is a gift to me, because she helps me on a daily basis. And Sheila and Peggy and Rebecca, those are in the office, that's their gift. I'm thankful for them, because that is not me. Other things I don't like doesn't make me necessarily happy. Taking out the trash. I love to clean house. I love to do chores around the house, but I hate taking out the trash. But what if I didn't take out the trash? Gross. It wouldn't matter how much you cleaned your house, it's still going to stink, right? So I still have to do those things. I do not like going to the dentist at all, at all, at all. I have had horrible experiences as a child and as an adult. It's the worst 2 days of the year for me to go get my teeth cleaned. But I still have to go if I want to keep my teeth, right? If I didn't want my teeth, if I did not care about that, I would not go to the dentist. I don't really like being dive bombed by birds either, but doesn't mean that we don't have to do those things just because we don't like them and they don't make us happy. The second part of the theology of happiness is that we start to believe that discomfort or maybe delaying something or taking a risk, suffering, any kind of inconveniences cannot be possibly be God's will. Well, that's not true. The scripture tells us Jesus himself, the Savior of the universe, says, in this world you will have what? Trouble. Tribulation. It doesn't say in this world you will have happiness. That's not what it says. In this world you'll get everything you want. No. In this world you will have trouble. But this is my favorite scripture in all of the Bible. The second part of that verse says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is the solution to everything that happens that doesn't make us happy. But there are some of the things that maybe we go through that the Lord allows us to go through that don't make us happy so that it draws us closer to him. The third part of this theology of happiness is that without knowing it, I can start to focus on and even worship things that aren't eternal, that aren't the Savior, that aren't the Lord. I might not realize it. I don't have a little statue on my fireplace that I bow down to every day. And a lot of times when we think of idols, we think that. That's not the case. This can be anything that takes precedent in our life. So if we believe all of that, then the things of comfort or money or pleasure or whatever, we start to focus on those things because they make us happy. And it's an immediate thing. I will tell you, after a day that my brain has just been taxed at work and it's just been a crazy day, do you know what I love to do? I love to go to Pier Park and walk around. I love to shop. I also love to go and sit down and just drink a really good cup of coffee or go and have coffee and dessert with someone or whatever. I love to do that. But if I'm not careful, when I'm taxed and when my brain is just tired or my body is tired, I can go to those things rather than saying, Lord, I need your renewal. I need you to help me. Because those things are immediate, right? I can go to them quick. I can go to the poor and order a cup of coffee and sit down and just decompress. Is that a bad thing? No, not at all. Please go buy coffee from the poor. No, that's not a bad thing at all. But if I go to those things and focus on things that make me happy or feel good, or, you know, any food channel or food program you watch, what do they talk about? Comfort food. We run to things that make us feel happy or relaxed or at home, whatever it could be. But all of a sudden, when we start looking at things through the lens of happiness being the driving force in our life, we start to realize or maybe think that God exists to serve us. And that is a dangerous place to think and a dangerous place to live. God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. And joy, guess what? Happiness is a byproduct of serving God. He's good enough that he lets us have that. It makes me so happy to get to serve and do something. But I don't do it to feel good. If I'm doing that, I'm doing it out of selfish ambition and the wrong thing. So if you think about all the things that we named earlier that make us happy, aside from Cindy's perfect answer of God, what do all those other things serve? Me. It's all about me, what makes me happy. Not what brings honor to God. And then the byproduct of that is happiness because he lets us be happy in serving him. But our preferences a lot of time trump God's purposes. We go, nope, I don't want to do that because that will be hard, even though maybe that's what God is telling me. I'm pretty certain of that. I'm not going to do that. This is easier and it will make me happy. And then we've missed out on this whole eternal thing over here that God has for us. God is not this cosmic Coke machine that I go and put my money in and hit the button and I get what I want. Isn't it disappointing? Sometimes you go to the drink machine and you put in your money and you hit Diet Coke and out comes Dr. Pepper. Right? That's not what I ordered. And sometimes we feel like that with God. Okay, Lord, I went to church. I put my money in the offering plate. I taught Sunday school. I did all of this. I should be able to push the button and get out what I want. But I still have cancer. My kids are still in rebellion. My marriage is falling apart. Lord, I'm pushing the button. I've put my money in. Why am I not getting what I want? And it's a funny idea, but the reality is we do it. So here's two reasons that God doesn't want us happy. And the first one is he does not want us happy when it causes us to do something wrong or unwise. But we do that, right? Because it's quicker and it's easier and it's fun. And we think, I'm going to do this. This seems like a good idea. But then it's not. And in the end, maybe even through the process, you're thinking, I'm going to regret this later. I'm going to regret this later. But you do it anyway. Isn't that how we are? Our own motives drive us so hard rather than looking to what God wants and doing that. The scripture says there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. That's pretty clear. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. So I don't need to just do what I want. I need to look after what God wants, right? 1 Peter 1:15 this is not what the scripture says. Look it up for yourself. But this is how we translate it sometimes. This is how we think. But just as he who has called you is happy, so be happy in all you do. You know what the real word is that goes in there? But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Does that mean perfection? No. But does that mean doing some things maybe I don't want to do, and it might be the long way around, or it might be, excuse me, the more difficult thing, but I should do it because in the end, doing what's right and being holy is not what leads to death. But my way is what leads to that. God has called us. He is holy. We're made in his image. That's what he wants us to be. Not perfect, but striving toward this perfect thing that he is and where we will be in eternity. You may have been in this situation before, or you know people who have been. And I'm not belittling when your marriage is struggling. Please don't mishear me. But I've heard people say this, and I'm sure you have too. Maybe you've even said it. How are things going in your marriage? Not great. May have even ended up in divorce. Why? We weren't happy. Well, sometimes you're just not gonna be. But if there's a promise made to one another before God, you struggle through the tough times and you press forward toward the better times. Now, every situation is different. Please do not mishear me. I'm not being critical of marriages that don't last. I am not, okay? I'm by no means any expert at that. But I am saying when we allow things to drive us out of our desire to be happy, no relationship will ever work, no anything, nothing we can ever possess will ever work or make us happy. Because no one can do that for us except Jesus and that void that he fills for us. And then once we start to live from that platform, everything else drives out of that we seek to pursue him rather than to pursue our own preference about things. We're looking to his purpose, not to our preference. We start to justify things in our minds about our behavior, and we start to say, well, it wasn't that bad. At least I'm not doing such and such. I might not be happy in my marriage, but at least I'm not having an affair. Or at least I didn't kill anybody today. But in the end, if we're working out of selfish ambition to make our own selves happy, all of that is the same, right? There's no one thing that's worse than another. Here's an example. You hate your job, and nothing on planet Earth would make you happier than going into your boss and telling him what you really think. It might involve a hand gesture or two, but it would make you so happy to go do it, right? But in the end, oh, you're going to regret that. You're going to regret that. But what do we do? Some people just go in, oh, my job's not making me happy. They got no plan for anything else, but they'll go in and quit their job. But they got three kids at home to feed, but they quit their job because they're not happy. Now, that doesn't make any sense, right? Even a Christian knows that. I mean, even somebody who's not a Christian knows that. But because we're not happy, we're going to make quick snap decisions that are not wise. God never wants us to be happy at the cost of doing something that is unwise or wrong. He never wants that for us. The second time that God doesn't want us to be happy is when it's only based on things of the world. So if we're looking to possessions or things to make us happy, then we're in trouble. I don't know if you have trouble sleeping ever, but sometimes I do. And so sometimes when I'm awake in the night and I'm just doing this mindless TV flipping, right? Channel flipping. Do you know how many things are on in the middle of the night that you go, wow, I really need that? These infomercials, there's Snuggies, there's the crepe away. I mean, like, I've never considered making a crepe before, but if I had that machine, I'd do it all the time, every Saturday. Or the no-no. Or let's see, what else? Oh, the scrub daddy. Now, I will tell you this. A few weeks ago, I was awake in the night and I was flipping channels and watching. And I have never, just not because I've had any opposition to it, I just never really watched any of these shopping networks, right? But something caught my eye because a friend of mine had this sponge thing at her house that looks like a smiley face. Have you seen these scrub daddies? They're freaking awesome, okay? But when I saw it, I'm like, I've never seen these in the store. What is this, right? Well, that's what happened to be on QVC. I watched the thing rotate through like three times. I watched the whole thing over and over. I'm like, this thing's amazing. You put it in hot water and it gets real easy to use to scrub something. You put it in cold water and it gets real rigid and you can get hard stuff off, scrub things off, and it's a smiley face and it's cute and it's smiling at you from the sink, looking at you like, hey, use me, clean something. And I texted my sister and I was like, Katie, have you seen this? I mean, why do we never watch HSN or QVC or whatever it is? And she said, Cameron, because you would buy everything on QVC. That's why we don't watch that, right? And she's probably right, because I'm a sucker for things like that. If they make it look good or the packaging is pretty, I'm like, that looks great, right? And so then I want to try it. And then you know what you end up with? A garage full of crap. Stuff that you don't ever use. I went on and on about the Snuggie when this thing first came out, because I'm like, oh, I can crochet while I'm wrapped up in a blanket and don't have to keep shoving it up on my arms. That's a great idea. And so Katie bought me one when they came out, like in the drugstores, and they're terrible. They're just this flimsy, like, little piece of felt with arms in it, you know? It's just, go put on a jacket, right? I got better stuff in my closet. But I get focused on, ooh, that looks really cool. But when we start focusing on things like that, and that may not seem like a really big deal, but then we start pursuing maybe relationships that aren't good for us. Or we start to pursue things that are bigger and better than what we have. So if I lived in this neighborhood, or if I had this person in a relationship with me, or if I had this car, mine's perfectly good and paid off, but I could trade it in and get something better. I'm not being critical of you. I'm being more critical of myself. But the reality is, we put stock in things like that, and we look to those things rather than what we need to, which are eternal. They tell us, the culture tells us, that these things equal happiness, when that really isn't the truth at all. When we base things on happenings, base our happiness on these happenings in life, our circumstances change, and then all of a sudden we're left with the counterfeit of a life rather than the real thing. Working and living and loving people through the lens of God's purpose for our life is so different than working through the lens of my own preference. Listen to this scripture. This is convicting. Write this down. 1 John 2:15-17. Look it up when you get home. 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Ugh! Just pierce you to the heart going, if I love these things of the world, I can't simultaneously love God. But we think we can, and we strive and spend so much energy doing it. When if we put all of that energy toward loving God, our life would look so much better, and we really genuinely, truly would be happy. Because we're driving out of God's purpose for our life rather than my own preference. The scripture goes on to say this: everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away. They are fleeting. They're gone, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Man. You go through and unpack that, you could preach 10 sermons on that scripture alone. That if I am looking to things to fill my life, to make me happy, and you may think, I don't do that, I'm not a shopaholic, I live in a modest house, or whatever. Okay, but think about your relationships. Do you disconnect from people when they start making, you're just not really happy with them? Do you avoid people because you don't want to deal with them because they're exhausting? If everything is about me, I can't take it anymore. Everything is I, me. What do I want? Then maybe reevaluate and look and see, what is it that I'm looking to make me happy or to fulfill me? So God would never want us to be happy when we're doing something that's wrong or unwise, or when it's based on things of the world. He does not sit up there worrying about, wringing his hands, what will make you happy. That is not the God I want to serve. Because if that's the kind of God he is, he can't make up his mind. And that makes me nervous. Because if God can't make up his mind, or he changes his mind, then he might change his mind about my salvation. And guess what? I don't feel real good about that. I want a God who says what he means and means what he says, and that's who he is. I don't want a God who is wringing his hands worrying about what makes Cameron happy. Because guess what? I don't always have really good focus, right? Okay, so I sort of jump from one thing to the next. I get to the end of the day and go, what did I do today? What did I check off my to-do list? Because I'll be like, ooh, this looks good. Ooh, this is a shiny thing. I'll go over here, right? I mean, it's just the way my mind works. And I need to stay focused. But thankfully, God is not like me. God stays focused on me doing the right thing, not on what will make me happy. God does not want us to live a happy life. He wants us to live a blessed life. Now, there's a lot of wrong teaching out there about living a blessed life, because, again, it drives at things that make us happy. So it's things, it's experiences that we have that fill some need we have. That is not what God's idea of a blessing is. God's idea of a blessing is his goodness and his presence always in our life, and that drives the train. Not what's going to make Cameron happy. But hey, Cam, guess what? If you will embrace my goodness and you will live in my presence, then guess what? Oh, things are about to get good for you, girl. But if I'm living, doing all this stuff I want to do and trying to fill it with scrub daddies and all kinds of stuff that don't matter, then guess what happens? I get lost in the midst of all of that, and I lose sight of God's purpose for my life. There's so much more than just sitting around and being happy. There are people who don't know Jesus. There are homes that are broken that need some hope. There are people who don't have anything to eat. There are people to serve. Now, happiness is, again, a byproduct of serving God, and that's awesome. But that's not always going to be the case. You're not going to be happy all the time, even when you're serving God. But you will realize that you are blessed as you're living in his goodness and in his presence. Doesn't mean you won't have a bad day. It doesn't mean that your kids aren't going to fight. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get sick. But it does mean that God is good no matter what. No matter what. It's not about what makes me happy, but about what is honoring to God. You know, when we look at promises of Scripture, we want to look for things that are good, right? And there, it's packed full of that. But the Scripture we talked about earlier says, in this world you will have trouble. That's a promise. That's not one we necessarily want to hang on to. But it's the truth. We will have trouble. It's not always going to be perfect. But living in the supernatural peace of God makes all the difference in the world in the midst of circumstances that we don't like or make sense. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And what starts to happen is our desires go from being selfish driven to being what he wants. And when our minds start to change and that our perspective goes to, "Lord, what do you want?" then our desires become his. And that's an exciting thing because we start to pray then according to his will and what he wants. All right, here's a story by Max Lucado, and I'm going to paraphrase it for you. We live at the beach, so you might know a little something about the water, or if you have been alive very long, you know about fish, okay? Just some basic things about fish. Let's say I have a fish here out of water. I'm holding him, and I take him right down there pretty close to the water, and I lay him down. Is he happy? No. Okay, he's close to the water, but he's laying there. Okay, let's say I go and give him $100,000. I lay it right down there by little Mr. Fish. Is he happy? No. What if I give him a beach chair and a Corona and some pictures of some pretty lady fish? Is he happy? No. Why? He is not created for the sand. He is created for the water, right? Put him in the water and dude is going to do what he does best. It's the same thing for us. We are not made for the temporary things here. We are made for heaven. Think back before you became a Christian. If you are a follower of Christ, think back before that when things felt so empty. And what filled that? Your relationship with Jesus. But even in the midst of living with Jesus, we can still become discontent. But it's because we are not made for here. We are made for heaven. And if we're driving out of things that are temporary, we will inevitably be unhappy. We need to lower our expectations of earth and put our eyes toward heaven. And then our perspective changes and we start to operate differently. When we're solely submitted to what God wants, then we start to think, "Okay, Lord, use me. Speak to me. Show me what you want me to do today." Misty Hicks, the book she just wrote, Having Faith to Live by Faith, there's a story in there about Miss Helen, who was her mentor. And Miss Helen didn't have a whole lot. She had been a concert pianist, just incredible. But she didn't have a lot of possessions. She lived alone. And every day she would get up and go to her closet and open it and stand there and say, "Lord, only you know what I'm going to do today, so you tell me what to wear." Now that may just seem silly. I got 35 outfits I could pick from, but she's going to stand there and say, "Okay, Lord, of these 10 little outfits, what do you want me to wear? Only you know what I'm going to do today." Because what God's will for her was is what drove her life, down to the even picking out her clothes. What would our lives look like if we lived that way? If we said, "Lord, I'm putting everything aside that is temporary and that doesn't matter, and I'm going to focus on you, and you tell me what to do." Whew. Think about your day-to-day things that you do, routine. What if those were changed up because God told you to do something different? Whew. That would be exciting, right? Divine appointments would happen, and you never know what God might pull on you. It would be awesome and exciting. You were made for so much more than being happy. You just were. Don't let that drive your train. Ask God, "What do you want for me? What's your purpose?" And I will put my preferences aside and see what he would do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that today you are so much bigger than our preferences. Thank you that you do not bow to every whim that we have. Lord, would you show us the right thing for our lives so that we can change the trajectory of where our life is going, not based on what I have or what will make me happy, but based on what you want for me and the people that I might be able to impact because you drive that for me. So, Lord, we thank you. We ask that you would be present with us as we worship and as we leave from here. Lord, would you draw us to you, not let us go about seeking you over our own selfish ambition. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.